The next tshuva deals with a phenomenon which occurred during the time of the Holocaust, whereby Jews would disguise themselves as non-Jews in order to be able to escape the Nazis, who were seeking out, searching for all Jews in order to imprison them, in order to incarcerate them in concentration camps, in order to murder them. Therefore, again, many Jews tried to disguise themselves and presented themselves as non-Jews. Rav Oshri, at the beginning of this tshuva, describes that obviously from a Torah point of view, there's something which is terrible. Elsewhere in other shiurim, other tshuvos that we've discussed, he discusses whether it's permissible to do so, or whether Yehark Vayavor applies, that a person should rather be killed rather than presenting oneself as a non-Jew. But in any case, he describes very vividly at the bottom of the first page that Heim Bikshu Miflat Eitzel HaGoyim B'Hamiram Ezdatam, they sought refuge by the non-Jews. And then in the part which is which is highlighted, Heim Chashvu Lidamos LeGoyim Bidatam U'Min HaGam, they mimicked or they presented themselves as non-Jews in their religion and in their customs, barachom b'pulchanam, in their manner and the way that they worshipped, ba'amram lenafsham he'ach nitzalnu ha'meisa metzika nazi yasur mi'aleinu ki lo nidminu od l'kohvei shemaim lezer mitzukei aretz el ofer eretz ha'amim. We no longer are like the stars of the heavens, to which Klal Yisrael has been compared, and we're no longer like the progeny, the descendants of Mitzukei Aretz, the mighty ones, but rather we're like the dust of the land of the nations. So he describes in very vivid and dramatic language how people thought to themselves that you know, that at this point in time, that we no longer are like Klal Yisrael, that's been given all the promises that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for us, but rather we're being trampled upon and we're being destroyed, and therefore we have to disguise ourselves as non-Jews. Then he mentions that when the liberation took place, Jews once again began to be aroused to return once again to their Jewish heritage and identity. I'll note that it is well known that there are those Jews who were so traumatized by the Holocaust that even subsequent to the liberation, they continued not to identify themselves as Jews, and they sometimes did not even tell their children they were Jewish. That is a phenomenon which occurred as well. But he describes those who did decide to return back to their Jewish roots. And he mentions the second page in the paragraph, which starts with the word ve'oz, Be'esahi boilai chayil Yehudi min hatzava adom harusi. There was a Soviet Russian soldier who came. V'siper li kim machane shvuim germaniyim hanimsim bidei harusim, that there are captives that the Russians are holding on to. Nimsa zug Yehudi homrim shem Yehudim. There is a couple that they say that they are a Jewish couple. But they were mixed amongst the nations of the world. In other words, they had disguised themselves as non-Jews. And in short, they now want to return back to their Jewish brethren. And he says that what happened was, in fact, they came back to Kovna, this couple, and in the next paragraph he says they returned back to their Jewish heritage, to following Avodas Hashem. And he says, in particular, the man who I guess he saw more, he says, "V'ishayim mashkim u'mari lebeis hamedrash lispalel." He used to come to shul morning and night. V'nishalti oz, and this is now the question, "Over ish who kohen imutu lalos l'duchan." Since this man is a Kohen, is he allowed to duchan? Is he allowed to be nosei kapayim? Given that he had disguised himself as a non-Jew, is it possible, Rav Oshri is asking, that he forfeits his right to be able to engage in his siyas kapayim, given what he had done. He presents a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and we're fast-forwarding a little bit into the next page of the Tshuva, which he quotes a Rashi in interpreting the Gemara, mentions that there was a time when Kohanim had been forced to worship Avodah Zarah, and the Pasuk in Yechezkel says, "V'lo yikshu elai l'chahin li," and they are no longer able to approach in order to serve as Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. The Pasuk from Yechezkel is on the right side. It says, "V'lo yikshu elai l'chahin li v'lageshes al kol kodashai el kodshi ha-kodashim," that he says they're no longer able to approach the holy, in the various different holy things in the Beis HaMikdash, and they shall have to bear, in a sense, the embarrassment and the abomination which they have committed. Now, these are people who were forced to worship Avodah Zarah, and nonetheless, it would appear from Rashi that they're no longer able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. On the other hand, he quotes another Rashi from Sefer Yeshayo, Perek Samech Vav. That Rashi is on the left side of this page, and there Rashi seems to be saying that Hashem will take the Kohanim and Leviim, who were mixed amongst the nations of the world, and they're going to serve. You mshamshim lefanai. They're going to serve before me. So there are two opposing Rashis here, first of all. And it's not clear how to resolve that apparent contradiction between the Rashi, in Mesechus Avodah Zarah, and the Rashi on the Pasuk in Yeshayo. He then turns to the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Nisias Kapayim, Simin Kuf Chav Ches Siv Lamed Vav, the next page, says the following. Mumer Lavodah Selilim Lo Yisa Kapav, that a person who becomes an apostate, turns to Avodah Zarah, is not allowed to Duchen. And then V'gielav Ramah, the Ramah comments, V'yeshom Masa Tshuva Nose Kapav V'cheinikar. And the Ramah says, if he did tshuva, then he is able to do nesias kapayim, and that is the view which we accept. V'chenikar, that is the conventional accepted view. And then it goes on to say, v'minenas l'div rakomoter, and the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say that if the person was forced to worship Avodah Zarah, then according to everyone, it's permissible. In discussing this issue, Rav Ashuri, in order to resolve certain inconsistencies, makes a distinction between different types of tshuva. There is a tshuva in which the person does what we call regular conventional tshuva. And then there's tshuva gemura. There's tshuva in which there's absolute clarity that the person is not doing this in order to gain anything, is not doing this in order to make appearances, but as he puts it at the bottom of the page, shuvaso hi b'chol libo v'nafsho mamish, that the person does it with all his heart and soul, b'zeh yesh lomar d'gam ha-mechaber mode d'tshuva mahani. He says that possibly even the mechaber, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, Yosef Karo, would agree that if Cohen would do such tshuva, then he would be able to do nesias kapayim afterwards. Again, the Ramah says that if he does tshuva, it's permissible. The question is, what do we hold in regard to the mechaber? Then, after introducing that, he, on the next page, the paragraph which begins Tavno Ladino, he says, this particular Kohen, why did he, you know, assimilate amongst the non-Jews and act as if he was non-Jewish? Because it was an Eis Tzara Liyakov, because it was a time of tremendous persecution for Klal Yisrael. And they wanted to save themselves from death. And therefore, he says, this is now in the highlighted print, Vade mechshav ka'asa machmas ones gomer muchlat. So then this person is considered to have done it because of coercion or because something, the person wasn't under the, it wasn't under the person's control. It was done under duress. And in addition to that, so let's remember, number one, he did a ba'onis. And if he does a ba'onis, then according to everyone, he's allowed to do, when he does tshuva, he's allowed to do nesias kapayim. And also the tshuva is complete tshuva. You see from what's going on now, he says, "V'arayishu marigu mashkim lebeis hamedrash." Kishataliso tefilah tachas beis sichio. He says that he's getting up in the morning, going to and late. He's going in the morning and night. He's going to the beis medrash to daven, and he's taking his talis and his tefillin under his arm. He says, "Look at this individual. Clearly, he's done complete tshuva." So maybe even according to the mechaber, even if the person had of his own volition turned away from Yiddishkeit and had worshipped Avodah Zarah, nonetheless, in such circumstances, maybe even the Mechaber would say the person is able to do Nesias Gavayim. And therefore, he says, based upon these considerations, it seems clear to him that this person is able to engage in Nesias Gavayim. Then he has one other question, which is a particular detail. Question is whether his wife, because we're talking here about a married couple, his wife had turned away from Yiddishkeit even under duress. Had she done it before they got married? And in short, he comes to a conclusion that it's not really an issue over here, because if she'd done it before they got married, she'd acted as if she was not Jewish. It's possible that as a Kohen he would not be able to remain married to her because of certain technical halachic issues. He comes to the resolution that they had been married beforehand. In other words, they were living, they were married, and then they were adhering to Avodas Hashem and living as Jews, and only subsequently, in the context of their marriage, did they then have to start disguising themselves as non-Jews, and therefore there's no issue in terms of that as well, and he's allowed to stay married to her. That's not an issue as well. And therefore, he comes to the conclusion at the bottom of the second last page, Ulam Horesi Lehem, he ruled for them, he instructed them, Lifnei ze she yikablu divrei haverus hayidei tefila k'din mumar habala shav l'das Yisrael k'fish nivsak b'yordea. That there is a, let's call it a custom, an instruction which is given to someone who chas v'shalom turns away from Yiddishkeit. When the person returns, the person is supposed to be tovel in a mikvah as if the person is now undergoing a kind of conversion. He said that because even if it was under duress, and even if it was due to coercion, and even if it was in order to save their lives, but nonetheless, the bottom line is, it's unfortunately a terrible thing that they had presented themselves as non-Jews, apparently, again, adhering to and following another religion, and therefore, in order to do whatever possible in order to show their commitment to Yiddishkeit, in order to show that that had been an aberration and was part of their past, and they were dissociating themselves completely from that. In order to demonstrate all that, they should be tovel in the mikvah, as the Shulchan Aruch mentions, in such circumstances is advisable. And therefore, again, he comes to the conclusion that this person, given all these factors, given again that he had done complete tshuva, given that it was done under duress, and now finally, because of the fact that tovel and mikvah, and they've demonstrated that they really want to be identified as Jews, and they want to engage once again in Avodas Hashem, this person, he says, is able to fulfill the mitzvah on the Nesias Kapayim.